A family in Southfield is grieving and frustrated, and Southfield police are angry as they continue to investigate a year-old shooting in which a 15-year-old boy was shot in the head and then later died. Tyler Johnson was with a group of four friends. They were unsupervised at a room at the Westin Hotel in Southfield on February 11th of last year when he was shot. Southfield Police Chief Alvin Barron joining us because he would like to close this case, at least get it to the prosecutor's office. Chief Barron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me during this difficult time for that family, but absolutely.
Oh, 100%. And this case has always fascinated me for a number of reasons, because first of all, it's this entire dynamic about people not coming forward with information that would help solve this case. So let's set the case up a little bit. What has prevented the Southfield police from bringing the case to the prosecutor's office for charges?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that question, because there's so many myths associated with this case as to what the police department and the prosecutor's office can and cannot do. So the issue that we're having is that once we secured evidence and search warrants, and we talked about the cell phone evidence, we were able to discover that there was no video of the shooting taking place. However, we were able to pull photos of all of the young men handling weapons and posing with weapons inside of that hotel room. As a result of that, when we made the arrest that morning of one of the teens in possession of the weapon that ultimately took Tyler's life, the hurdle is, how do you know without a certainty that this individual was the one who was handling the weapon at the time it was discharged, when the evidence shows that they all had access to the weapon? And so out of five teens, certainly four witnesses remaining, someone has to step forward and tell law enforcement who was handling that weapon at the time it was discharged and why. What were the circumstances surrounding that discharge of that weapon for us to move forward?
And the police, the Southfield police, believe that all the people who survive know who that person is.
Without question, they were all in that room. You know, we were able to secure evidence that earlier that morning that the teens had breakfast in the hotel lobby. The shooting occurred roughly around 8:30 a.m., and all of the teens, per our investigation, were inside of that room. And so once we arrived after the initial 911 call took place, our officers responded to the hotel very quickly. They were able to detain two teens that were exiting the hotel, and again, one of them had two weapons on his person, ultimately one being the weapon used in the crime and then another additional weapon. The other team, although he did not have any weapons on him, we did identify and then release him to his parents. And then as a result of great police work, because the other two witnesses or teams that were part of this had already fled, but we were able to track them down at their residence and then attempt to interview them. But as I explained in my press conference, all of the teens, through their parents, have obtained lawyers and are refusing to talk to us. And that information is so valuable because, again, the prosecutor has to be able to present this case to a judge or jury. And without that eyewitness, we're in a stall pattern.
Yeah, you sure are. The victim here was 15 years old, 15-year-old Tyler Johnson. How old were the others in the room that day?
So at the time of incident, Tyler was the youngest at 15, and the remaining young men were all 16.
Okay. I probably heard this, but I can't remember. How did they get into this hotel room? Somebody had to rent it for them.
Yeah, our investigation revealed that the uncle of one of the young men rented the room and then gave them access to the room.
And these weapons, who did they belong to? Do you know who they were registered to?
Well, the weapons, through our investigation, revealed that the weapons were reported stolen about 6 months prior to this incident. The investigation did not reveal who or how these teens got their hands on these weapons.
Yeah.
But they were reported stolen. And through our investigation, the owner of the weapon has no association with the teens involved. So right now it's unknown of how they actually got their hands on the weapon.
You know, I can really understand how difficult it must be for a parent to not want to basically deliver their child to the police for a crime. I can truly, truly understand how difficult that must be. I'm a parent, I know. But on the other hand, I don't understand if someone's been killed, why you cannot do the right thing and be the example here to say, you know, you have to stand up for what happened, and you need to stand up like a man, if you want to use that terminology, and we'll be here with you. Your family's right here with you, but we have to come forward with the information we have. I mean, the family of the victim here, I just can't imagine their pain. You must be dumbfounded. The department has to be dumbfounded over this.
Yes, and, you know, and I'm glad you narrated your thoughts in that manner, because I'm able to now say, well, here's the difference between a random street crime and an incident that occurred amongst all friends, where somebody was handling this weapon, whether it went off intentionally or unintentionally, somebody was handling it. But these are all friends. And so our investigation revealed that these guys have been hanging out for a long time. They were very close. So although there is, you know, some concern about having the courage to come forward and tell what happened, because we all associate it, they all know the mother. They all have family and friends that are associated. And so because of that reason and that reason only, I believe someone out of four witnesses, one of them should say, hey, this isn't right. We know, we respect their mother. We respect their family. We were all friends. We loved him. He was a great friend to us. We loved him. So here's what happened. And so that's the difference, in my opinion, as to why these teams should give us the information that we need.
100%. I'm in agreement with you on this one. And again, you know, with full acknowledgement as to how difficult it must be to tell your child, look, no, you've got to go to police. You've got to step forward. We're going to be right here with you, but you've got to come forward. And again, for this, the mother and, you know, the family of 15-year-old Tyler Johnson, it's just utterly devastating what has happened here. And in addition, if that isn't bad enough to lose your child, to know that this other nonsense is going on is really difficult. Southfield Police Chief Elvin Barron, is there a number people can call if the spirit moves them? Is there a number people can call?
Yeah, you can call Crime Stoppers if you want to have some level of anonymity. And there is a reward that is being offered through Crime Stoppers. Or you can call the Southfield Police Department or any law enforcement, and they'll forward the information to us. But at the end of the day, we need an eyewitness to this to be willing to come forward and give us the information that we need.
Yeah. You know, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of unsolved crimes in the Southeast Michigan area, thousands of them. This one is solvable, and I can understand your frustration, Chief. Nothing but the best to you. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me and also giving me the opportunity to continue to plea to this family and the friend to come forward. Thank you.
Yeah. Tyler Johnson is the name. We're not going to forget that. Thank you. And we'll continue here on WJR.